This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America Tonight. Boy, we're going to jump on a couple of things here as we kick it off, including the president's agenda and where they're headed next week and things that are really rocking out of D.C. that affect your pocketbook and mine, plus a crazy travel warning. Yeah, we'll talk about that too as well. And I'm going to throw this in because I'm also a sports fan. I was watching that World Series, of course, between the Dodgers and Houston. As I caught some of that anyway, a wild game two of the World Series. Kind of worth the investment if you were a sports-minded person, since I like politics, business, and sports. I did watch this, and it was 11 innings. The Astros ended up beating 7-6, so that series has some drama, and it's now tied at 1. I think sports, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it and what the subject is a lot like politics. Right from the get-go, we have a leadoff hitter. Get the reference? Scott, listening to us in Massachusetts on 1120 AM in Worcester. Hey, Scott, how are you?
How are you?
Good. What's up?
Yeah. This is what's up. You know, I'm so disgusted with America. President Trump is trying to get his agenda done. And he's desperately trying. He's being nickeled and dimed at every turn. Nothing can get done. Nothing will get done. There's no infrastructure, no Mexico wall, no health care, no tax cuts. And a lot of this I attribute to George Soros. There is a conspiracy to destroy Trump's presidency, and in so doing so, America. If you look at George Soros' agenda, you'll see that he started with Occupy Wall Street. He moved to Black Lives Matter, Antifa movement, climate change, Confederate statues and flags, the national anthem, gun control. Furthermore, Soros is aided and abetted by Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Charles Schumer and Adam Schiff and Bernie Sanders and Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer. For your listeners who do not know who Soros is, he's a billionaire. He's an international Jewish banker and financier and communist who is hell-bent on making America a communist nation.
Scott, what's the point of your call, though, that you want to attack George Soros? I think a lot of people know who Soros is.
The point of my call is that America is under siege, and it's not only under siege by Soros, but by, as I said, Schumer and Schiff. And it's also aided and abetted by the Sulzberger family, who owns the New York Times, and media mogul Michael Bloomberg, regurgitating all of this garbage, this news that passes as news, but it's garbage. It's nothing as garbage but to confuse and to disorient the American people. And what I'm saying to you and your audience tonight is that there must be a vast Jewish conspiracy to make America a communist nation and start a race war, and I'm referring to Black Lives Matter, Antifa. There is a vast conspiracy to, and this is not an opinion, this is a fact the way I see it, there is a vast conspiracy to create a Zionist-occupied government.
I gotta let you slide on that one. I disagree, Scott. I disagree with that. I think that you can talk about George Soros as a bad guy. You could talk about him as somebody who pumps money into things that he believes in. Absolutely. There's no question about that. He funds what he funds that are his interests. And you named some of them, so I was with you on that. You know, absolutely. There's no doubt that he certainly was funding things that were, again, that were helpful to him. But I, with the whole name-calling thing, I got to bail on you there. And see, that's where people lose. You lose in the argument when you get down. It's like a buddy of mine said, look, when they go low, we go high, right? So I would say to you, Scott, go high. Don't go low. Don't go low. Don't go there. What can you do about it? What can the listeners do about it? They don't like what they see. They feel like there is a conspiracy of some sort. And I think there's a lot of different ways you can skin that cat, a lot of different directions you could go with conspiracies. And people, of course, accuse Trump of being part of a different kind of conspiracy. I will say this. The one thing that you said that I definitely agree with is, and this is something Jimmy Carter said last week, and whether you think he was trying to further his agenda or whatever, as somebody who would be critical to peace of some sort or talking about the nuclear situation in North Korea, Jimmy Carter said he felt like Trump was unfairly getting blasted, like he'd never seen anything like this with every single president that's before him, after him, etc., that people were just piling on him, basically. And you can see that. You can see, it's what I said, it's the reference I made to sports. It's us against them, it's the blame game, it's what team are you on, and there doesn't seem to be any bridging of the gap very, at least not very much. And also I would agree on the infrastructure thing. I mean, it's ridiculous. The one thing that we should be doing, the one thing we could get done is, for goodness sake, we've been talking about infrastructure for how long? And you can't tell me we can't get the funding, move that forward, and have something happen? Look, all you have to do is drive around the United States and look at some of the conditions of the bridges. And God forbid somebody has some sort of accident like we've seen, like we saw in Minneapolis a few years ago. We don't want to see bridges get in those situations again where they're so crumbling and falling apart that people could lose their lives. And the danger is, of course, with infrastructure, that those kinds of things are happening with old pipeline beneath neighborhoods, etc., and trying to come up with the costs of replacing pipeline and what city councils are doing with that across the United States. Think of every nook and cranny. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I'm completely with you there and on some of the stop gaps that have happened where there should be funding and there absolutely is not funding. I say the same thing. Absolutely. But I don't think, I think you give one man, first of all, too much credit for pulling strings. He does have the financial means to be effective, but I never think it's one person. It's definitely, when there's an agenda, there is definitely more than one person. All right, so moving along here at the top of the show, I said the North Korea problem, in fact, mentioning Jimmy Carter, Trump is going to Korea, is going to South Korea next week. So the Perez will be there and he'll be in Japan as well. And Trump was on with Lou Dobbs, Fox Business News, and he talked about a whole bunch of different things, including North Korea. And he said, it's a big problem. It should never have been given to me. This should have been solved long before I came to office. It would have been easier to solve. But it was, and I will solve it. He says that, you know, we look at what's going on with North Korea. Of course, they have been aggressive in the last couple of months. And they've talked about, of course, the concern is hitting Guam or hitting the U.S. mainland even. And just over this past week, there have been a lot of tensions between the U.S. and North Korea. So a lot of the conversation has stalled. Let's see what happens next week. All right, hang with us. I'll meet you on the flip side, I promise.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that will be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Year. I think it's hard to say, is what I'm going to say. You know, there's going to be a lot of Trump, of course, and probably Melania, but that's any president. That's not anything new. Always people dress up like the presidents. So, duh, of course. And Wonder Woman, I'm assuming Wonder Woman will be popular, probably. And then the normal kind of costumes, when I say normal, where you're dressed like some sort of animal or whatever. How about you, Nathan? Do you dress up for Halloween?
Yes, I dress as the Sound Man.
I bet you. You dress up as the Sound Man. I think you should dress up like Pennywise the Clown, the scary clown from It, from Stephen King's deal.
No.
No? No, you don't want to dress like the clown?
No. I don't, no. Nope. Nope.
Nope. Nope. How about, well, I'll tell you what's going to be popular. Daenerys, whatchamacallit, from, and you don't watch this, but from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, what's that show?
Game of Thrones. Yeah, Jon Snow.
What is that show? What is it?
What is it?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, right. Medieval knight. I'd like to be a medieval knight, probably. And I really, honestly, the Wonder Woman costume will be popular, definitely. I think orange is the new black. That's an easy one. I think some people will dress like that. I just for fun, just for kicks, people, because we need to lighten the load a little bit here. We're all so serious, and I'm raising my hand because I'm right there with you. Furious at some of what's not happening, ridiculousness, going back and forth with healthcare, and what I'm hearing from people I know that have companies that are telling me it's just killing them. But I think of, you know, Halloween, because I see kids running around trying to get costumes and posting them and stuff. And I think there will be a lot of nights. I think there will be a lot of, like, T-Rexes and Harry Potter stuff and Minion costumes. They have Minion costumes, too, so probably that. Maybe the White Walker could be popular. I'm just thinking. I don't know.
And the White Walker.
The White Walkers from Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is just out of your reach. You just don't get it.
Nope.
You're going to have to look it up. So the White Walker is crazy. And the very feared, evil presence in this Game of Thrones. And probably, too, Star Wars. Star Wars is coming out, another next Star Wars. So probably that would be popular, I would assume. And, you know, I mean, look, I think it's fun when the little kids dress up and they come to the door and they're excited. And usually they're cute things. Maybe a Minion, maybe Belle from Beauty and the Beast, whatever. I mean, can we not have a little fun? But to what I mentioned before with Halloween, because of some of the sick, twisted things I think that happen, sadly, in this world, the parents, and I don't blame them, are afraid to let their kids go trick-or-treating, or they go with them, and it's in this controlled environment. When we were kids, we were like maniacs. I remember having a pillowcase, and my brother and I would, I mean, we just, it seemed like we probably got the best exercise ever, because I don't know how many miles we walked, because we lived in areas where all the suburbs, all the subdivisions were, like, connected. So you didn't have to cross big roads. You could keep going and going and going, and we did. We went and went and went, and I think when we came back, it was ridiculous how much candy we had. And I know, I mean, of course my mother wouldn't let us have all that, but it was insane. I mean, it really was. It was crazy, the candy that we got. And I don't think there was a big concern. There was always some nutty thing that happened to somebody somewhere. You know, the razor blades and apples or whatever, horrible things. But it wasn't enough to stop families from saying, oh, we can't go through some neighborhoods. Now it's a whole different ballgame, like everything else, right? So it's the whole trick-or-treating experience, I think, is different for kids. And so good for churches and for other community areas where they take it over so that people still get together, and it's just a different experience than the one that a lot of us had as kids, if you did the Halloween thing. Because sometimes a lot of people didn't participate. They didn't want to participate in it, so they didn't really grow up doing that. All right, kind of in an odds and ends segment, the nation is mesmerized by this whole horrific sexual harassment deal that was kicked open, and it's a serious deal, by Harvey Weinstein. And, I mean, just all the stories got worse and worse and worse. And so the hashtag that was out there was Me Too, and people are sharing things that happened to them. And it's not just women. Men are sharing things that happened to them as well. And it's very sad. But I guess in a sense, it's cathartic and also shows you how widespread the problem has become. And I think the problem also becomes, because we live in kind of this weird fractured world of political correctness that sometimes is way over the edge, now trying to find that middle ground is going to be a lot tougher. And I think it's going to be a lot tougher for a lot of organizations that are trying to figure out where that is. You know, where that needle moves and what happens in the, you know, what happens in the future, what happens the rest of this year, and what happens into next year. And I mean, this has just been a giant door that has been kicked open. Some of it started with, I think, the Bill Cosby stuff, but way more over the Weinstein thing. That just pushed it out completely, especially relating to reactions and, you know, whatnot. All right, as we move through this odds and ends, this is crazy. Today somebody was asking me, I forget where I was, where I needed a Social Security number. And, I mean, it was a secure place where I was, but I was thinking about Social Security, and then the story comes out about the Social Security Administration spending has topped $1 trillion for the first time. Wow! So they spent more than a trillion, 37 times as much as the Department of State spent during the year, 32 times as much as the Department of Justice, 20 times as much as the Department of Homeland Security. Wow, wow, wow. That's a lot of money, right? So Social Security encompasses a lot of different areas. And, you know, everything from disability insurance trust fund to benefit payments to supplemental security income program that they've got. You know, you could break this out in a lot of different ways. But that is pretty interesting that it's as high as it is. The only thing higher in federal spending is health and human services. That's it. That's the only thing higher, not by that much. So you move from Social Security to the Defense Department and military programs, and that's half, a little more than half of Social Security. And then you go all the way down. I was looking at the entire list, and you go all the way down to, you know, from the Corps of Engineers to the legislative branch to the Public Defender Service for D.C., you know, et cetera. And, boy, it is interesting to see where that money flows. It's not, I think some of it's not in the direction that you think it goes in. But Social Security, I knew it was high, did not know that it was that high for the first time. Wow. And think about what happens in the future, right? I mean, and really, Social Security isn't spending anything. They're paying out benefits to people who paid into it. So it is funded by people and their employers. So that's kind of, it is kind of interesting. But it is, it also does make you wonder about the future and where that money's coming from, right? So someone's got to pay it. It's, you know, who's paying it? Because we're always short every year. And I don't think anyone wants to cut Social Security, especially if you've been paying into it. Remember there was I think it was George Bush II who thought that maybe people should just get checks and they could invest it how they wanted to invest it. I don't know, if it's a choice between you're not going to get anything at all, then you've paid in, or get a check now. Coming up next, Forbes Books at Bedtime. Then Joe Alton joins us. We talked to him at the beginning of the year to talk about the wall. Enjoy, everybody.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
We're back again with Anna Layada, and we're talking about, of course, generations and the differences and whatnot. And Anna, last time you were explaining to us about engagement and millennials, and I thought it was fascinating as you were talking about mentoring, and mentoring up and mentoring down and mentoring across. I understand mentoring up and down, but what is mentoring across?
So mentoring across is coming from the perspective that everyone has something to contribute. And so what we typically have seen with our baby boomers' formative experiences in the workplace is that people worked in silos and you only learned what was in your department and you didn't stick your nose in other people's business because that's not what you had been hired to do or paid to do. Our millennials come in and they want to have a 360-degree view of an organization. And so from the very beginning, they're learning what they were hired for, but they're looking to see across the way what else is available. So we want to be giving them a transparent, clear view through the organization because they may have started in, say, accounting, but they didn't know that they had a little marketing flair that they'd like to explore. And so, on average, our baby boomers got on with the company for 20-plus years. Our Gen Xers got on with the company, and as free agents, they stayed between 7 to 13 years. But our millennials get on with the company, and they will have between 13 and 26 different careers. Mm-hmm. So their trajectory at an organization that doesn't allow them to mentor across and mentor up and down and look at how they can map out their career GPS is about 6 months to 18 months. So if you allow them from the very beginning to look across, to learn from others, whether it's up, down, or around, they will actually stay longer. The number one reason that millennials report leaving organizations is because they were not being developed. Number one reason, it wasn't money, and it wasn't even work-life balance, although they want both of those. But they very strongly believe that they need to be developed. Gallup just put out a report that will be available for purchase later, and they were looking at, okay, what's the number one thing? Over 70% of millennials said, I'm leaving because I don't feel like I'm being developed.
So, you know what's interesting, Anna, and I'm going to go back to something you said in our previous segment with you. You talked about your, did you call her your bonus mom?
I did.
I love that.
She was a gift to our family.
I love that.
She took us on.
So, your bonus mom grew up, she was your biological mother passed away and your father remarried, and this is now his new wife, mm-hmm. your bonus mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a depression child, and mm-hmm. so at a family gathering for the 973 people in your family, since you have 19 siblings, a huge number of siblings, nieces and nephews, and grandnieces and nephews, your bonus mom is wiping the tinfoil clean so she can reuse it. And you know what struck me as you were walking through that story is that I could also see a millennial doing that, but for a different reason. So a depression child would be doing it because of scarcity, but actually it's kind of the same thing. A millennial might do it because of a different kind of scarcity, not a personal scarcity, but a ecological global scarcity, right? It's a resource that we could save and reuse. And so I'm wondering, do you think, first of all, I think the idea of codes is really brilliant. I mean, the minute you said that, so many things made sense to me that I had grappled with in the past. So I think you're absolutely right. It's not just a great way of saying it. I think it's completely accurate. But do you see that codes, kind of like fashions, will actually come back? Will we see another Gen X-like generation? Will we see another Depression-era-like generation?
Ah, what a brilliant question. Absolutely. In my book, Unlocking Generational Codes, I take you through the 80-year social mood cycle that we have gone through in the U.S. over 19 generations, over 19 times in the generations, because we have 19 generations since the inception of the U.S. And each one of those 80-year cycles have four social moods inside of them. Mm. And the archetype that is developed during that social mood in that era is consistently coming back. It's consistently coming around again. And so our millennials as an archetype are a hero archetype. The last time we had the same social mood as the millennials have grown up under was our GI generation. Mm. They were a hero archetype. They want to do great things. They want to rise to the challenge. And so what's really brilliant is we can understand that the Gen Z globals coming after the millennials are an artist archetype, and pluralism and narrowing the gap between the have and the have-nots is going to be their mission. So you are absolutely right that we will see this again, but the generational codes addresses how their formative experiences will have them react a little bit differently. And when we understand that, yes, the GI generation that my bonus mom was and the millennials have the same archetype, so they come at the same problem, and there's a very similar way of approaching it, but why they're doing it is different.
Right.
Millennials are conserving for the environmental and looking at the imprint, and for the GI generation, it was more of a survival phenomenon. And so many generations have many things in common, and where the power for a leader is when you understand the code, you understand the drivers. It's not that there aren't things that baby boomers dreamed of and Gen Xers desired, now millennials demand. For instance, work-life balance. Our baby boomers say, we wanted work-life balance. We dreamed of it. We talked about it. But we had 80 million peers. Gen Xers say, we desired it, right? But there was only 44 million, and there was a tsunami of a, you know, labor pool called baby boomers. And now millennials come in, and they demand work-life balance because they're going to be working into their 80s. But guess what? Work-life balance flows and serves all of the generations. When we recalibrate and we put that in, it helps Gen Xers, and it helps baby boomers, and it definitely will help the globals.
So it's interesting. I have an even greater appreciation for your talking about the generations with a code, because I realize now that when you codify something, it's data, right? I mean, you've actually given me a data-driven approach to viewing a generation, which is so much better than, I hate you all. No, that's not that's useful. Right. Let me quantify what's going on to my benefit and to their benefit. And that's what a code is really another word for an algorithm, right? You've essentially created a generational algorithm.
Exactly. And it's very funny because a lot of Gen Xers in particular will say, I'm not a Gen Xer, I'm just me. I don't, I'm not part of anything.
Which is such a Gen X thing to say.
It's exactly part of their generational code. And at the end of a lot of my speeches and presentations, Gen Xers will come up and they're kind of sheepishly saying, I feel a little weird, you just described my life. And it's relieving to them to understand that that code or algorithm is something that they can actually bring from the background to the foreground and now have facility in operating inside of it, because instead of it running them, they now recognize, oh, here are the variables making up that algorithm. Now I get it, and I can choose to, you know, work with the variables, I can adjust the variables, but now it's not something that is, you know, operating in spite of me.
Wow, so it's interesting. We see on and now that there are a lot of companies that do telecommuting and a lot of people that work from home, and there's a lot of entrepreneurs. So the younger, I'm going to say the younger generations in the last two we described, so the globals, for example, and the millennials, do they desire connectedness among people, or are they okay with sort of this telecommuting?
Excellent question. So millennials are okay with telecommuting up to a point, because one of the things about their generational code is that they are very social. So they need the time to come together with their peeps, their people, their peers. They very much enjoy being around other people, and too much isolation can actually be a problem. And yet, they want the flexibility to say, tell me what you want by when you want it, and then let me get the work done. Don't measure me by FaceTime. Don't measure me if you just see me, line of sight management, which our boomers grew up with. They say, if I get it in on time as promised, then why do you care where I was when I did it? But they do need the social connection of coming together at times. And so that's why a lot of organizations now are going to the point where they have a lot of touchdown spots within their organization. I have the fortune of doing a lot of work with Amazon right now, and it's not about the office and having the corner office that our baby boomers would have wanted. It's about having a place that you can plug in when you're together, but then lots of casual collaboration spaces where you can get together with peers and you can actually connect. So they actually really like the choice. That's a DNA piece for millennials. I want to have options, and so I want the choice of being able to come in and collaborate in the same space, but I want the freedom of being able to get my work done from anywhere. Work is not a destination for millennials. Work is something you do from where you are. That's part of their talent code.
Wow, I love that. We have like a minute left, and sometimes, well, in fact, a lot of times we ask our guests this question. What is it that keeps you up at night?
I think the thing that keeps me up at night is that people are seeing themselves in conflict to each other because they don't understand each other. And the problems that we have to solve will not be solved from conflict. They will be solved from collaboration. They will be solved from understanding and being in harmony and in flow with each other. And so I think that the problem is, if we see each other as our adversaries or our problems, we will not get the job done.
Wow, so well said. Anna Liotta, thank you so much. This was really a pleasure. We'll have to have her back on. What do you think, Greg?
Well, okay.
Okay.
I have 100 more questions to ask you. Yes, we
have 100 answers.
I love, thanks for joining us on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Thank you, Kate.
Are you tired of paying fees and commissions to that other site? I know you are. And I'm here to tell you about a great alternative to sell your stuff. BuySellMakeOffer.com is the best-selling site to ever come along. It doesn't matter what you're selling, big or small, it's easier than ever. And you can use Skype to show your items and get to know your potential buyer, and they can see that you are for real. No more blind trust. And you're not limited to snapshots. You can video what you're selling to better sell it fast. For as little as $9.95, and that's after a free 30 days, you can sell everything you no longer want with absolutely no fees, ever. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and become part of a community of buyers and sellers who have already discovered this revolutionary way of getting it sold online. That's BuySellMakeOffer.com. You'll never regret making the switch. BuySellMakeOffer.com. So, what are you waiting for?
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temp from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com and use discount code Radio30 after 3 times for 30% off your order. InstaFire. Fire in an instant.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Scientist Olympia LaPointe. We go from Olympia to Dr. Joe Alton, who is a disaster preparedness expert and host of American Survival Radio. You know, we just watched the inauguration, and there's lots of questions about the wall, the wall, the wall, because this is one of the major themes for Donald Trump as he was crisscrossing around the United States and getting people interested in what his policies were going to be, what his vision was. And the vision was to build a wall. So, Dr. Alton, thanks so much for coming on. And as you know, this was a major theme that really struck a chord with a lot of people. So now we've got President Trump, the elect, is taken out of his name. What do you think is going to happen with his pledge regarding this wall, that so many people are waiting to see what happens and who's going to build it and who's going to pay for it? Do you think we're really going to see a wall?
Well, I think that's one of the major points of his entire campaign. Matter of fact, probably the cornerstone is that there's going to be some kind of physical wall on our 2,000-mile border with Mexico. I mean, it sounds improbable that you could even do that, but he's going to figure out a way to do it, and he keeps saying that Mexico is going to pay for it. And that's really where I come in. I wrote an article in the Daily Caller where I just sort of said that the Mexican president and many different presidents from before just simply said that it's just against our dignity as a country, our dignity as Mexicans. Now it's a matter of national pride, and we didn't have to go into all this "you're going to pay for the wall" kind of thing. Look at it this way. Let's say I have a neighbor named Kate, and Kate has a Rottweiler that insists on pooping on my rose bushes. And so I think that building a fence between my property and Kate's is a pretty good idea. But asking Kate to pay for that fence, it's not so much of a good idea. You might think, hey, it's worth a shot. But if I demanded that, well, let's face it, I'm going to have worse relationships with Kate. She's not going to let me borrow her lawnmower. It's a big issue. Kate, you might not be able to, my neighbor Kate might not be able to argue about my right to build a fence on my property, but she can argue against my demand that I finance it. So what we have here is taking a pretty reasonable relationship and throwing it right in the dumpster. And this is all for a side issue that I don't think a lot of people care about. I don't think a lot of people care who's going to pay for a wall, even those, matter of fact, maybe especially those who are in favor of it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, too, because along the areas we're talking about, some of them already have some fencing, and it's not what we imagine, I think, in our minds. As I traveled with the Border Patrol, I've been through many of those areas, and you know this. Certainly, you talk about these kind of things on your radio show. It's not what people think, is it, along the border?
No, as a matter of fact, I saw a video of two women that climbed the wall within, I would say within a minute or two, they were over that fence that is currently up. So I think that that is a poor, so far, obstacle of people coming over. And the question is a wall going to be a better obstacle? Probably, but only if you do a lot to support that wall with virtual sensors, with increased Border Patrol presence. We have to really develop that if we're really going to make any type of difference. If we do, though, it is possible that we will save ourselves some money. You know, the government says that we spend probably about $113 billion on caring for illegal immigrants that come into our country. And so if we can make a dent in that, well, you know, they might even pay for the wall. Who knows?
Yeah. How important is it to have a wall or have some barrier?
Well, you know, 65 countries have some type of barrier or are currently building one. You know, illegal immigration is a big issue, not just in the United States, but a lot of different places. We saw very famously Hungary build a major border fence when it was having trouble getting Syrian refugees from crossing the country to get into Germany. So I think that we need to have some way of securing our border. If it's a wall, it's a wall. If it's not, it has to be something. Sensors, there's a virtual wall, basically, where we can identify people coming in, and we just definitely have to have a better presence and a more protected border patrol presence if we're going to really have any kind of border whatsoever. And that's a decision. We have to decide, are we going to have a border or not? And I think the voters decided that we need to have one because they elected the guy whose cornerstone for his campaign, that's the border.
Right, and it'll, and as it takes shape, it'll be interesting to see, because I think there will be discussions in Congress. I do. I don't think this is here's, we have three branches of government, here's what he ran on, here's what the push is. Because if there is going to be more funding for, as you know, Border Patrol, then all of that would have to be voted on. And so I think we're going to see this be, there's going to be an interesting discussion about this that's really going to happen in a much wider area than we've seen in the past. There's been discussions, but not like this. I think it's going to be, I think we're going to be hearing a lot about it from Congress, don't you?
Not just that, Kate. We're going to be seeing lawsuits from environmental impact people, from human rights people. Eric Holder in California has been retained to, I think, pretty much specifically fight the wall on the California border. There are Republican deficit hawks that say, you know, they don't want to spend that kind of money. It's going to affect the deficit. And how about the folks that happen to live along the Rio Grande River? If you have a house that's on the river, well, guess what? Your property is now condemned. and or has to be taken over by what they call public domain. So that's an issue. There is a way, though, that is possible that he could get payment for the wall, or that he could pay for the wall, and that's something called a border adjustment tax. And you may, if you've been to Europe, you might know it as a value added tax or a VAT, V-A-T. And in that circumstance, what happens is that a country, basically you're taxing imports that come into the country, and you are taxing exports, but you're getting the money back from exports. You get refunded for the things that you export. So for countries that we have a trade deficit with, let's say Mexico, we have a $13 billion trade deficit a year with Mexico, then that a percentage of that money would actually come into the United States every year. And since it's a border adjustment for all countries, you're not singling out Mexico and not making it a national insult to suggest that they specifically pay for a wall. So that's something that's been put forth by some economists. I don't know if it'll work, but 160 countries have it. So the question is, we could possibly have it too.
Yeah, border adjustment taxes. Again, that's another thing to look for. Good stuff. Dr. Joe Altman, if somebody wants to find you, how can they do that?
They can check me out at AmericanSurvivalRadio.com. You can see my articles in the Daily Caller, Intellectual Conservative, Conservative Truth, all sorts of different places on the Internet. And, Kate, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, that was terrific stuff. Thank you, Dr. Joe.
Bye, Kate.
So I think Dr. Joe brought up some really interesting things. We are going to, as far as the wall's concerned, we're going to see a lot of debate on this. We already are seeing a lot of debate on it. So it's not anything new. And like he said and I said, it was the cornerstone of Trump getting elected. So now this, now this is happening. And he mentioned it. There are people that are advocating not to have the wall. So the push is, you know, full on to stop it as well. And what does that wall look like? What do you think that wall looks like? You know, the border fence between Mexico and the U.S., I was reading something the other day. Is it necessary? Immigration laws. What do our immigration laws look like? Well, we need good laws. We need to enforce good laws. Absolutely. And other nations have those expectations. But as Dr. Joe mentioned, and the border adjustment tax is a big thing. We know what's happened because of not enforcing the laws in the past. If you go back to Reagan's administration, I've said this before, for goodness sake, there were laws on the books, and those laws weren't enforced very well. And because they weren't enforced very well, and because people were hiring people illegally, let's face it, that's what happened. Then there was tunnels because there was profitability because of drugs and running drugs back and forth. So this is a huge, huge, important, again, debate that we're going to see that's going to move from radio talk shows, newspaper opinion pieces, blogs, etc., to even, I think, more in the forefront once again in Washington. I think it's very important to do that. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.